So the last few weeks we've been in the Psalms and looking at different ways to the Psalms help us to kind of figure out how to react to the things going on in our lives. And we're talking about a whole lot about emotions. And some of you are wild about that and some of you could do without it. So today we're going to look again in the Psalms. And today the focus is going to be stress. Because most of us go through life with a certain amount of stress. It's unavoidable. And a small amount of stress in your life is normal. It doesn't really matter what you do. There's always that little bit. But I think in the culture today, stress has become epidemic. There's never been a time in history where we've been more anxious than we are right now. You do some research on this and you see things like 62% of college students would say that they feel overwhelming anxiety. Or between 75 and 95% of hospital visits are thought to be stress or anxiety related. This culture spends more than $1 trillion a year treating anxiety related problems in this country. So it's probably more than a bit of an epidemic. It's a full-blown epidemic. At least it feels that way. But even then, none of this is new. Solomon even said, there is nothing new under the sun. David talks about this repeatedly in his Psalms. And the question we've been asking ourselves the past few weeks is, these different things we deal with, where does it lead you? So today, where does your anxiety lead you? Where do you allow your anxiety to take you? Now the Psalms, when you read them, are not prescriptive. They're not necessarily telling you this is the way you do things. But they are descriptive. They describe how other people have responded, mostly how David responds. He writes more than half of the Psalms. And this can be difficult for us because what we want is we want to grab a hold of David and say, give me 6 steps to dealing with stress, because that makes it easy. It's just a checklist to go through. But he doesn't write that way. Instead, the Psalms are more emotive and they're more experiential. So we're going to begin in Psalm 55. In verse 1, David just begins, "Listen to my prayer, O God, and do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles." So David speaks of being overwhelmed by troubles, and he's going to identify some of what those troubles are. What I want to start with is just recognizing that David is honest about his feelings of being anxious or being overwhelmed by what's going on in his life. And I think this would have been really hard for David, because David as a young man had a certain reputation, because David was never afraid. Everybody else is pretty stressed out because of this giant named Goliath. But David rolls up at 12 and he's not worried. He's not overwhelmed. In fact, he seems to be the only one who isn't overwhelmed. And when you have that kind of reputation, then it's especially difficult to be vulnerable. If you have the reputation of being the person who fixes everything, then it's really difficult to step aside and say, I need fixed. And if you felt this pressure to be the one who rescues, then it's really humbling to say, I need to be rescued. And David shows tremendous courage here, not just in killing a giant, but by being honest about his anxiety, being honest about feeling overwhelmed, because that's not easy for him. There's no weakness in feeling anxious. There's no shame in feeling overwhelmed or stressed out. And you might have times in your life where you have that kind of faith and courage like David had with Goliath, but you'll also have times where you're overwhelmed and you just can't take it any longer. So you can have the strength of David, and you can have the faith of Abraham, and you can have the courage of Elijah, and you can have the strength of Samson, but you'll still have some times in your life where it's all just too much. And David is honest about it. And he says to God, I'm overwhelmed. What we're going to see here is, as we study this, is that there was just a lot in his life happening that he couldn't control. And there's this direct connection between what we can't control, and the anxiety that we feel over that. The recipe for your anxiety tends to be this diminished sense of power, where we just don't have any, and this sense of vulnerability. We're in this position of weakness, and we can't figure out how to get out of it. So David begins by just being honest about that, honest in his prayers. And so this is where we begin, by praying honestly to God, saying, I can't do it, or I don't know what to do. But I want you to notice, though, that when he prays, he makes this shift. And he shifts from this generic opening to being specific. And I think this is important. As we deal with our anxiety, when we name it more specifically, it's a way of turning down the volume on it. Because really, if you want a definition of anxiety or stress in your life, it's just noise. If you turn the feedback up on the speakers, you would barely be able to hear me. And some of you are thinking, hey, can we turn the speakers up? I get it. But the point is, anxiety, stress, that's just noise in your life that drowns out the things you need to focus on. You worry about this other stuff. But being able to name our anxiety is a way of turning down the volume on it. It's one of the ways we cast our anxieties upon God, is that we pray about these things specifically. So Paul writes in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything. He's in prison when he's writing this, chained to a Roman soldier every day. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every little thing, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The key is that we pray specifically. See, sometimes we pray pretty generically about our anxiety, and then as we think more about our anxiety, we just become anxious about our anxiety, and it just builds on it. So the issue really isn't the issue. It's really the anxiety that we have over this issue. But if we can name the issue, if we bring that to God, more specifically, it has a way of turning down the volume. So David does this in verse 3. He says, my enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. So David just prays these very honest prayers about very specific things. And I know for some of us, when we pray, we think the way we should pray is just with these very memorized and scripted prayers. That's what makes us spiritual. But in reality, the most spiritual thing you could possibly do, the most spiritual prayers are the most honest prayers. David is honest in a way that's a little bit uncomfortable as he prays about his enemies and what they do to him and what he wants God to do to them. And as David describes his anxiety, he speaks about these people around him that are making his life difficult. And if I asked you to specifically name your anxiety, some of you could give me a person's name. That one person in your life that just sends you over the edge no matter what. What is it about that one person that has created this anxiety in you? See, for most of us, it's that we can't control that person. Because if we could control that person, in our minds, the anxiety would go away. If they would just do what they're supposed to do, if they would just do what I want them to do, I wouldn't feel anxious about it. If I could control that person, if they would feel the way they're supposed to feel, if they would respond the way they're supposed to respond, if they would say the things they're supposed to say, if they would have changed what they needed to change a long time ago, everything would be all right. I wouldn't feel this anxiety. And there's, again, the connection is between who we can't control and the anxiety that we feel because of it. If you're a parent, you understand this dynamic perfectly. Because when it comes to our kids, we think, if we could just control them, If we could just control their decisions and their choices and their feelings and their fashion choices and their food and their entertainment choices and their friend choices, or if I could just control it for them, they would be happy. And I'd be happy. So we start to feel scared for them or anxious about giving them choices. I experience this even more now because I have a 15-year-old. And 15-year-olds want to do things that take them away from the house, away from parental control. They start hanging around people that the parents can't control. And there's way too much uncontrolled 15-year-old energy out there. And sometimes we see them going down a path and we think, well, what if they can't come back from this one? What if they can't turn things around? What if they marry the person they're dating? And sometimes, what if they stay married to the person they're married to? What if they never come back home? What if they never leave home? And we have this anxiety because we can't control them. And the more we try to control them, the more they go their own way, the more they do the things they want to do and not what we want them to do. And the more anxious we feel about it. And so David talks about this friend who betrayed him, and he gets into it a little bit more specifically in verse 20 where he speaks about this person. He says, "As for my companion, he betrayed his friends. He broke his promises. His words are as smooth as butter, but in his heart is war. His words are as soothing as lotion, but underneath are daggers." So David gets more specific about who he's talking about here. There are different ideas, especially as to who this person is. But he's describing a betrayal of someone that he trusted, someone close to him, someone he thought he could count on. And when someone you trust breaks that trust, it creates a whole lot of anxiety. Because now, who can you trust? When the one person you thought you could trust disappoints you, there's a whole lot of anxiety, because if you can't trust that person, then who in the world can you trust? Or can you really trust anyone? David in verse 6 is going to talk about the way he wants to deal with the anxiety that he feels. And I think most of us can relate to this. We want to manage our anxiety through some kind of escape. Just go somewhere where we don't have to hear the noise. And that for many of us, that part has gotten us into trouble. So David says in verse 6, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape far from this wild storm of hatred." David, he just wants to get away from the noise, from the anxiety that's everywhere around him. But then his attitude changes, because starting in verse 16, what we see is that he's honest with God about his anxiety. In doing so, he's inviting God to meet him in his anxious moments. And now his anxiety, instead of moving him towards despair and hopelessness, it's going to move him, once he invites God into it, it's going to move him towards peace and dependence. Look at verse 16, because here's the shift. David says, "I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice." So David says he will call on God morning, noon, and night to be rescued. And this is an important aspect of prayer that reduces anxiety. And it's the part of prayer that we tend to forget. It's how you start your day and it's how you end your day. That when we're talking about the noise in our lives, the anxiety and the stress, it's not that we just turn it off and we're done. It's that we understand that morning, noon, and night, it's going to have to be something that we talk to God about. And the volume might get turned down for a while, but tomorrow it's going to be cranked right back up again. And so David says, morning, noon, and night, I cry out to God. I was thinking this week that that's not necessarily what we do. We don't do morning, noon, and night. Instead, sometimes in the morning, the first thing we do is turn up the volume of the anxiety. It's the first thing we do. We wake up and we pick up our phones to see who didn't call us or who did call us and left what we don't want to listen to. Or we look at the news and we see all the horrible things that happened the day before that we have to deal with today. And then when I'm done with that, I'm going to look at my calendar. I'm going to take note of everything I should have gotten done the day before that I have to try and accomplish today. And so the first 20 minutes of our day is being reminded of everything that's wrong in the world and everything that we've failed to accomplish. And it's just piling more pressure on us. And at night, what do? We kind of do the same thing. Instead of having some time around the table to talk, we watch TV. And we get in bed, we get on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and we end our day by reminding ourselves that everybody's life is filled with so much more joy and happiness than ours. And I didn't get any likes to my post. And whatever else you want to fill in there. And as I'm going through the pictures of everybody else's life, it seems like they're having so much more fun than I am. My life never seems that way. And by the time you get to verse 16, the shift that we see here is David goes from talking to God to talking to himself about God. And this is common in the Psalms. It's where he starts off being really honest about his anxiety, but then at some point he turns the corner and he starts being honest with himself about who God is. He stops talking to God about his anxiety and he starts talking to his anxiety about God. David goes from praying to preaching. But who's he preaching to? He's preaching to himself. He's preaching a sermon about God's promises and about God's character and about who God is and what God has done and what God will continue to do. And for many of us, this is the shift that we need to make in our prayers, that we need to be intentional with. Because if we're not careful, we end up praying in a way that makes us even more anxious than we were when we started. We just go through all of this long list of anxieties and difficulties, and we bring them all up and think about them, which is good to a point, but if that's where you end, you've kind of short-circuited the whole thing. You haven't turned the corner. David turns his corner. He shifts from talking to God to talking to himself about God. And listen to how he talks to himself about God in verse 18. He's preaching to himself here. God ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me. Though many still oppose me, God, who has ruled forever, will hear me and humble them. And so for David and for many of us, the volume of anxiety gets turned up. It gets turned up higher and higher by the circumstances and the situations of life. And we're just constantly reminded of the what-ifs, the things we didn't do, and all the things that could go wrong. And for David, he's just reminded of the enemies that surround him. And one of the images he uses in this psalm is of the water that just is rising and there's nowhere left to go. So the volume gets louder and louder with the noise of the anxiety. But then he makes this shift. And David, it's not that the noise has all gone away and then all of his problems have been solved, but now he starts worshiping. And he's going to start talking to God about his problems and talking to himself about God. And he's turning up the volume about who God is. And he turns up the volume about God's promises. And he reminds himself that God is the rescuer and the redeemer and the healer. That of everything else, God is the one that you can count on. So he's turning up the volume on worship. And when he does that, worship drowns out worry. Those two things can't coexist. It doesn't mean all the noise of the anxieties goes away. It's still there, but worship just starts to drown it out. And you've got to do this morning, noon, and night, because this hasn't gone away. It's still there. But the more you do, the more you turn up the volume of worship, the more it drives out worry and anxiety. And some of you understand this, because when you come in here and you worship on a weekend, you feel some peace. And maybe the last thing you feel like doing when you come here is really being here. But once you're here, and once you start worshiping, and once you take your attention off of all the stress and the circumstances, and you start focusing on worshiping God, you start to feel some peace. So David does this, and I love the way the psalm in verse 22 ends. David says, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. You give them to God morning, noon, and night, and he will take care of you." Now, it doesn't say he will take care of your complications, and he will. It doesn't say give your burdens to the Lord, and he will solve all of your problems. It says he will take care of you. It doesn't mean that the noise of anxiety goes away or disappears. If you come in here and you feel overwhelmed with anxiety, what I don't want you to hear me say is, stop feeling that way. Because that's not useful to anybody. You can't decide not to feel that way. The thing is, it's daily. It's daily turning down the noise of the anxiety and turning up the promises of God, the work of God, everything he does. And as you turn up the music on God, the worry and the anxiety will fade away. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, I think too often anxiety is the result of not trusting you. And not trusting you to take care of us and to provide us the strength, the will, the patience, the whatever it is to deal with the person or the event in our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to get rid of all the stuff that gets in the way, all the stuff that pushes the noise of our anxiety and our stresses to the front, and that we can focus on you and focus on the promises you've made to us. And to focus on the fact that you're always faithful. And that by trusting in you, we can deal with anything that gets put in our path. And sometimes these things are in our path, so we do experience in them, so we can be prepared for you to use us, to glorify you. Lord, the most important thing is that we trust you. We pray that you would strengthen our faith and our obedience to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.